Hello, Pinellas County. It's time for you to check out Angie's Grill on Drew Street. Angie's Grill on Drew Street in Clearwater is under new ownership, where Ina and Eric Thomas are bringing a new look, a new feel, and an updated menu with affordable prices. For breakfast, try Eric's favorite made-from-scratch Belgian waffles with blueberries or strawberries. Or for lunch, try the Kaz, also known as beef liver with caramelized onions. Not your style? No problem. How about the chicken wings? Or the spaghetti and meatballs? Or even the meatloaf with potatoes? At Angie's Grill on Drew Street, we're not making you a meal from a can. It's a meal made from scratch. And if you have room, try one of Ina's desserts, cakes, or pies by the slice. Or take home a super individual pie. It's the Thomas family serving dine-in and pickup at Angie's Grill on Drew Street. A hidden gem in the tiny plaza at the corner of Jupiter and Drew, across from the 7-Eleven. That's Angie's Grill on Drew Street. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. till 3 p.m. Or on the weekends from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. Give us a call, 727-441-2644. That's Angie's Grill on Drew Street, located at 1732 Drew Street in Clearwater.
Show, and now here he is, the host with the most, Mr. Brian Cash Clause.
Another one in the books, Tom.
Another one in the books.
We got my good friend out there, Alex, and I will say this live on the air, and then anybody can say if I've ever said this before. Tom, how many shows have you been with me for a while, right?
432.
Okay. I respect Alex more than any man I do business with. What is that saying? Anyhow, he's a real down-to-earth guy. He's a spiritual man. I believe he is touched by the Lord. I really believe the Spirit goes through him. And there are certain people, and I don't preach on this show, so I'm not a preacher. So, you know, but what I am saying that if you want to talk to someone that's touched by the Holy Spirit, it's Alex. Wonderful. Anyhow, and then we got Carl out there. He's going to do the banjo. He does the history of the banjo. Oh. He did a thing on Honeymoon Island where 1,300 people showed up. Most successful land. He does bluegrass. And who else do we have out there? We have somebody out. We have a bunch of people out there. Anyhow, we got pizza from Frank's Pizza. He's been sponsoring the show for a while. We got a chef salad. And then who else?
We have Sydney.
DJ Trippers. You want to be around someone that laughs? It's daytime Trippers. And then we have Carl in the house. What's your position and stuff? You're with the Boy Scouts, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're dressed up nice. We have cameras in the studio so people can tune in. Go to Brian Cash Claws. Go to tantalknetwork.net. And then we also have a popcorn lady going to be calling up. Believe it or not, she started a popcorn business, and it's the best popcorn. She gives free samples because her popcorn is that good. And then we have this young lady, the president of
Foundation for a Drug-Free World, Florida.
For a Drug-Free World. We can do a whole show on that. Yes. Because the thing with drugs is that people generally will take drugs because they can't cope with their problems.
True.
So if you can get them to cope with their problems, the realism about who they are, then they can overcome it. And that's what they call emotional insecurity. And that's with worry, resentment, self-pity, fear. And now they drink or take drugs to cope with those. So if you can figure out how to take a look at yourself, right, at what makes you tick on the inside, you have a better chance of not needing drugs because now you're not. And actually, when I was just talking about God, you know, the chief activator for fear or defects of character of someone is fear, right? So if you can overcome fear, you can, because you're scared if you're not going to get enough money to pay the rent, let's just say, that's fear. But if you just trust God, You don't have to do those things. I'm talking too much. Every time I look at my show, I say I'm not going to talk. And I So we got this young lady on from drugs. Now tell us what's going on with the Boy Scouts, Carl.
Okay, so real good. I'm going to introduce myself as far as what I do. I've been a minister of the Church of Scientology since 1978 and a volunteer scout leader, Eagle Scout, and I've been working with scouting since 1956. You count that out, that's a number of years. And basically what I do is I work with charitable groups, and the primary one is the Boy Scouts of America. And I work with a group called the Friends of Scouting. And what we do is we support scouting and underprivileged kids who otherwise wouldn't be able to be in the program. And we work with the Boys and Girls Club. We just formed a partnership with them so we can serve underprivileged youth. I work with foster kids. I work with single parent families so the kids can be a part of it. And we serve over 17,000 youth in the area. We have 4,713 registered volunteers. We have over 350 scouts earned the rank of Eagle Scout in 2019. And the Greater Tampa Bay Area Council, which covers the 9 immediate counties in the state, has achieved the gold status in the Journey to Excellence 2018 to 2019. And they're the number one council in the United States in terms of growth in the year 2019. They have actually grown 15.6% during the last 2 years. We also did the Super Bowl of Caring, which is over 37,000 pounds of food that we gathered up and delivered to underprivileged families. The Friends of Scouting goal is $1,105,000 for the year, and that supports all of these activities. We did 38,000 hours of community service provided for by scouts in our council. We have an event coming up called the Distinguished Citizen Award Dinner, which will be held on the 13th of May at the Grand Hyatt, honoring Derek Brooks. And everyone is invited to participate. Anyone that donated to the Friends of Scouting over $1,200, they will not be charged for the event. And we also have another event coming up. And this one is on the 23rd of April at the historic Fort Harrison Crystal Ballroom at 6 p.m. for donors to the Friends of Scouting in the local area. And again, donors, it's free of charge. And that includes the dinner, the entertainment, all of that sort of thing. What I primarily do is I raise money for the Friends of Scouting. I'm also a commissioner in scouting, volunteer. I'm not a professional. I'm not paid by the Boy Scouts of America. I do this on my own time, and it's a very rewarding career. And I work with a lot and a lot of youth and some little guys. Like on Saturday, I'm going to an event at our Boy Scout camp, which I don't know if anybody knows where it is, but it's in Clearwater. And it's about 7 miles away from your studio. It's called Camp Sewell. Huh. And we're having Pac 43 from the Church of the Holy Spirit in Safety Harbor, and they're bringing their kids over. They have over 50 children that are now in their pack, and they're having an award dinner for all the kids. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and that'll be on Saturday night. So anyway, what we do is we take youth and we get them practical demonstrations of ethics, morality, leadership, responsibility, self-reliant, because we want them to be self-reliant, and we start immediately. Even when a kid is like 7, 8 years old, we start working on that all the way through high school. And the whole concept or the whole idea is that if someone is proud of what he can do himself, and he feels that he's able to survive, he has the ability then to give to others, and he could serve others in the community, and that's what we're after. Just as one thing, so that you get some kind of understanding, is we have a group in the United States called the Fortune 500. 420 people of the Fortune 500 are Eagle Scouts. All that is to demonstrate the fact that these guys become leaders in our communities and in the world.
Wow, a high percentage, if you think about it. You know, you talk to people about the Eagle Scouts, right? But it is that leadership thing, to be self-reliant, to not expect, right, to be entitled, right, mm-hmm. to earn, to work hard. You know, you want to be successful in life. Don't get me wrong. Some people are lucky and things happen. I'm not going to say that doesn't happen. Some people hit the lottery. But people that are successful work hard.
That's right.
And then good work ethics, right, are the key to success. If you ask me, now, you can go around the room having faith in God, of course, having integrity. That's doing the right thing when no one's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Working hard when no one's watching, right? These are the things that make someone successful.
Right.
Right, and this is what you're instilling this, because we are creatures of habit. So the mind is more open when you're a child than when it's closed-minded. And that's the cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Right.
So if you teach the young dog how to live correctly, it's a lifetime thing. And I believe in my heart, you change one person's mind, you change the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The world. That ripple effect of how that person helps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Boy Scouts do, right? There's nothing bad, right, that can come out of learning how to be a good person, right? And there are, like, things to live by is teach them not to take things personal, right? Work, do the best job you can possibly do at any given task. How about, what's another good one? Give me a good one that you could say that would...
Well, I'll give you an example. I think it's the easiest way to do this. You have what's called a patrol system. By the way, the Boy Scouts is run by the youth, and they're supervised by the adults. So their responsibility is to run the program. So they have somebody in their patrol that makes a mistake, messes up. What do? They don't go over and yell at him and tell him how wrong he is. They said, okay, look, you made a mistake, but here's what you did correctly. We're going to work on what you did correctly so that you do better. Okay? That's what we're going to do. This is called leadership.
Right.
Because if you're constantly going after what he did wrong or the negative thing, you're never going to be able to develop character.
Right. And character, too, is, and I don't think these are ideals. It's progress, not perfection.
Right.
But be impeccable with your word is a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, when I said don't take things personal, and another one is don't assume, you know, because our minds, at least for me, my mind can play tricks on me, right? Don't assume a negativity, mm-hmm. right? If you don't go through life assuming, right, just do not assume, right? And if you are going to assume good thoughts, because it's the law of attraction.
Yeah, like, I'll give you an example. Now, this boy was 12 years old. Okay, he's working on a merit badge called Fire Safety. As part of the merit badge, he has to make sure that his family has an evacuation plan and they can all get out of the house. Three times in a row, he has to do it four times. Three times in a row, he did it perfectly. The fourth time, his sister wouldn't get out of bed. So he has to come to me as an adult leader and confess that his sister wouldn't get out of bed. Now, did he get upset at his sister? Maybe he did, but he didn't tell me that. He told me that he failed to get his sister out of bed.
Tell him he should have poured water on her. Ice cold, too.
But the point of the whole thing was, is that instead of lie about it and tell me that he had done it four times, he had the integrity to tell me he didn't and what had happened. He thought he was going to get killed for this, right?
That's beautiful.
But I said, no, we're going to work out how you can do this.
That's where there's cliches, and there are reason for cliches. You know, the truth will set you free.
Right.
And you have more respect for someone that tells you the truth than you do that someone tries to cover it up. Even, especially when it's not flattering, right?
Right.
Because then you realize that person's real,
mm-hmm.
right? The realism of life. We all go through it. I mean, there is stuff that's too much information, don't get me wrong. But overall, like, I don't want someone walking up to me saying I'm fat and old.
Right.
Even though that's the truth. There's three criteria to go by. Is it necessary? Is it nice? Or is it controversial? If you can take the time to say that to yourself, is this going to be controversial? Is it nice? And is it necessary? And if you can take those three things, you just go with the nice thing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be in controversy. And the best way to be in controversy is to gossip, right?
Right.
That puts you right in the middle of the muck. And I'm not going to say I don't gossip, right? And I don't do any of this stuff. But the purpose of life is to help others. You know, in the spiritual world, it's about helping you. Without you, there's no me. But in the material world, it's about me,
mm-hmm.
right? And then that material world is what's going to bring on the worry, the resentment, the self-pity, the fear, the resentments, right? So that's, I'll know when I'm having that emotional insecurity, I'll know I'm having that because I'm in the material world.
Right.
If I'm in the spiritual world, I'm not thinking of me. I'm thinking of you. Without you, there's no me. That our common welfare comes first, unity. If I can do that, right? That's when I know I'm in that mode is because I'm at peace. And a peaceful mind will generate power. And I'll make better decisions. And this is the stuff you can teach kids. I find out, though, sometimes it's too deep. Because I deal with 12 and 11-year-olds because my son's on the football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these kids come off the field sometimes, and I get to talk to them. And sometimes they'll just walk up to me, and I kid you not, and just stand there in front of me waiting for me to talk. You know, certain kids, they just walk up, two of them will just stand there and say, okay, time for our little spiritual lesson here or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat, but I don't want to be, I think you show me, don't tell me.
Right.
Right.
Actions speak louder than words, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm out there giving, I'll give you an example. I gave someone money and I only had like $40 on me the other day. And I tell you, I didn't give it with a good spirit. Someone came up to me and I had two 20s, right? And they asked me to borrow money. And I gave them 20, right? And I got a little bit, it bothered me a little bit. I didn't want to do it. So I can't say that every time I do good, I don't have like a negative feeling sometimes. Because
mm-hmm.
the key word for spirituality is the word sacrifice, right? Was I willing to sacrifice that money? Because that's all I had on me, right? Was 40.
Right.
And I gave half my money away, but I gave it away, and I'm just going to say the truth, with anger.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it with a good spirit because I only had two 20s, you get it? I would have gave the guy a 5.
Right.
And it bothered me for a little bit. Like, I was angry. Like, why'd I do that? But I still did it.
Yeah.
It's when you give with a good heart, too, right? That's important. Give, to keep it, you got to give it away, right? That's a paradox. How do you keep it? Well, how am I going to keep God? How can I keep God or the Spirit or do good? I have to give it away. And then by me giving it away, the paradox is I get to keep it. Would anybody comment on that?
Well, I'm going to go over some. I just said that I support underprivileged kids. All right? If I give that away to them, I'm doing them a disservice. Okay? If I say, okay, I'm going to give you the entry fee, you're going to earn the rest of it. Right?
Earn.
Earn.
You know, that's the acronym for time. Things I must earn.
There you go. So I tell them, okay, so you're going to come in. I'm going to give you whatever, you know, like your uniform, your registration, all of that sort of thing. But then you're going to participate in the fundraising for your troop. And what happens is instead of the kid getting welfare, he gets a start, like an investment, and now he's got to earn the rest of the way.
It's not entitlement.
Right.
Right, which I've had happen, too. It's like, that's why the kids that grow up poor and all that, they fight for what they get. That also helps them fight in life. Some kids just don't take it to that level. But to be a fighter, right, not to just be handed stuff.
Exactly.
Giving them the tools.
Yeah, if you ever watch that show, The Prophet, right, on MSNBC, this guy comes in with money and he helps families, he helps businesses that are failing. And what this theory was, I was surprised to find this out, is that second generation owners, like companies that were handed down to their kids, fail. We had Mikey's Pizza in here, and it was the most successful pizzeria where they even expanded. And the son took it over, and the son was actually a cold cat, I'm not going to say. But within 6 months, the number one pizzeria in our market was out of business.
Huh.
I can go over story after story like that. So when I heard on The Prophet, he said second generation businesses have a higher fail rate than anything. Mm-hmm. You would think they're handed it on a silver platter that they would succeed. But they don't know the struggle, right? What it took, the fight to get to where that was at. Like with me, like when I started my magazine, I didn't even have a magazine. Right, think about that. I'm going out selling a magazine that I didn't even have. Right? And people would say, why would I do an ad? Well, I said, just imagine what it would look like. You know what I mean? You have to be first, right? When it, just anything in life, you know? Right. So what I ended up, I'll tell, I'm not going to tell, it's not about me. But anyhow, it's really neat what you're doing with the kids. And I really want to thank you for showing up. And maybe could you come back next week also? Or is this too much for you to come here?
Well, what are we having next week?
Actually, what do we have? A chef salad here. We have vegetables. We have Chinese food coming at the end of the show too. Today, I mean.
I'm actually not sure because I've got two events. They're both interesting events. One is a breakfast in Tampa, and it's with a group that mentors kids. And what they do is they assign somebody to work with the kid from the time that they get them until they graduate high school. And they also help foster kids and so forth. So that's one thing. Another one is, I've got this all the same day, is a group in Safety Harbor that handles abused children. And so we're gonna work with them. And I happen to have a Cub Scout pack in that area. And so we're going to have a little dinner, and I'm going to work with them, and they're going to figure out how they can help sponsor some of this stuff.
Nice. Wow.
And that's all on that day, so I don't know if I can get in a radio show, too.
No, I don't think so. But anyhow, sometime we'll have you on again.
Sure.
And what I'd like to do is, you know, let people know that if you change, what did I say? If you change someone's mind, you change the world.
Change the world.
Right? And then this is the time when people need to be guided, because one wrong move can change someone's life for the worse, or one wrong move or right move can change their life for the better. I really believe the main thing is that you got to work for what you get. And if that could be the main goal of teaching kids that they're not entitled, I think that's the greatest thing you can teach someone.
Yeah.
Work hard. It's not given to you, right? Be persistent. You got to come over hurdles. And when you come over hurdles, the people that are willing to keep climbing those hurdles will be the ones that become successful. Don't quit. And if you fall down, fall on your back, because then you're always looking up.
Right.
Anyhow, that was it.
Thank you.
Did you want to? Yes, thank you for being on the show. This is Carl. Great man. He's helping out a lot of kids, and he's been doing it for how long?
I first started 64 years ago.
Wow. There you go. So they say you can't buy experience, but I still consider you a rookie.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, Carl, you want to? Oh, Carl? Carl? Yes. What's your name?
Gary.
Gary, I said Carl. Come on, Carl, sit down.
All right.
Gary. And then did you want to talk? Just give us a...
Well, I can kind of jump in here, but I too work with children and big children, adults, working in drug prevention through education. So we give them tools, we give them facts so they can make an educated decision. Because like you're saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you know you can't make them drink. But you can make sure that the water, they know exactly what it is. And
but if you can get that horse now to float on its back, you got a hell of a horse.
That's exactly. So that's what I work with. I work with giving kids the facts and adults the facts, police, teachers, community leaders, basically anybody that wants to do something, you know, especially in this day and age, which we kind of we're immersed in a drug culture. So the more facts we get out, the more, you know, information we have. I work with what I always say is that knowledge is power. So that's what I work with, and giving this facts, giving information can help.
Yeah, knowledge is power, right? That's a true statement. But action also has to go with that statement.
Absolutely.
You can have all the knowledge in the world and you're laying in bed, right?
Exactly.
You got to get up and do the work, right? Yeah. Knowledge is power.
Exactly.
With action.
Exactly.
Right.
Actually, it goes, my name is Mike. Actually, it goes, knowledge is not power unless applied.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, there you go.
Well, there you go. Well, we try to give the facts and get the knowledge, and all the information that we have is actually free, and you can actually go and download it yourself on your phone or computer, drugfreeworld.org, and you can get all that information for free, and giving you the power.
There you go. Knowledge is power, though. It is power.
Absolutely.
And then, because sometimes if you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't know what a drug is. Like, they know that there are drugs and they can say they're bad, they're good, whatever, but what is a drug itself? And a lot of people don't realize what it is.
I think a drug, if you ask me, is something that alters your way of thinking, your mind. Anything can be. See, alcohol is a drug because it alters your mind.
It is a type of drug.
Right? Or marijuana is a drug because it alters your state of mind.
Yeah.
Anything that alters your mind is a drug.
Yeah. Well, yes. And there's a very simple answer to that. A drug is essentially what it is. It's a poison. That's what it is.
Right.
So, you know, there are different types of drugs. It just that what is true is that what is a drug itself? A drug itself is a poison. And that's something that you can start, for example, to introduce or educate your children from a young age. You don't have to go into all the nitty gritty things, but you can start with like, hey, listen, it's essentially, that's what it is. It's a drug. It's basically a drug. And you can start with that. And then you start educating them more and more on that. And that's, you know, how does it work? How does it affect your mind? How does it affect your body? Short term, long term? It actually, you know, there's a lot of information and there's very simple ways to, you know, educate and learn about it. So that's what I do.
Well, that's what you do, and I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
And you're the president, too.
I am. I'm the president for the state of Florida.
Wow. So you're the big kahuna.
I am. All bow to me. No.
That's right, she is.
So have you ever done a drug?
No, I have not.
Your whole life?
My whole life. I think that the only thing is I've drank alcohol, and that's about it. But I can tell you my history. I grew up in the border of El Paso, Texas. And I grew up in the Mexican side, Juarez. So I can tell you about drugs. I don't need to do a drug to tell you what drugs do, because that town became the number one murder capital of the world thanks to drugs. So I know a little bit about drugs.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I know a little bit about it.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got to have street sense, too. There's common sense and street sense. It sounds to me like you have street sense, too.
Maybe.
Just a little bit.
Maybe. We'll leave that in, you know. We won't talk about it on the radio.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. You didn't hear it from me. But
did you ever see a drug transaction?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. So see?
Yep.
Who hasn't, right?
Yeah, these days.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so funny. It was just last week I was in the convenience store and I saw a drug transaction going on. The guy walked up. I seen it. It was just like so obvious. And then a lot of them go out at the convenience stores, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why the cops will look at the tapes.
Yeah.
And stuff, they don't even realize that.
Yeah.
But I just mind my own business. I don't see nothing. Who is that? Remember Mr. Schultz?
Schultz.
What did he say?
Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing.
I see nothing.
I see nothing.
Yeah. So anyhow, maybe before your time. Do you know who Sergeant Schultz was?
No.
Okay. What was that? Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes.
Anyhow, so it's really good what you're doing,
Thank you.
Presidente. I could say it that way, right? El Presidente. Would you consider coming back sometime?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Did you get some of the pizza from Frank's?
Not yet.
Okay, well, get some pizza.
All right.
And then we had the big man here that does all the fundraising. You know, like in Watergate, what'd they say? Follow the money.
Right? I better run out the door.
Right? It does take money to operate. That's all there is to it. So you need to do these good things. It does take good money. You know, that's one of the things we do is we never have money made out to us ourselves personally. Hmm. We generated $45,000 for Kids Last Wish Foundation. It was at the Regent in West Shore, and it was just beautifully done. It was elegant. We had beautiful hors d'oeuvres and all doctors and lawyers, and they showed the kids actually getting their last wish. One girl wanted just to see a giraffe, and so they took her in the ambulance, took her to see the giraffe. She had giraffe pajamas, giraffe everything, right? And all she kept saying, like when they were filming, is, I just like to see a giraffe live. So they were opening it up with the zookeeper to let her in, and there she was. And it was like a week later she passed away.
Wow.
Right? And then there was one kid that wanted to run. All that was his last wish because he had a bad heart. But it was the last wish thing, and he never ran because they said, you have a bad heart. So they came up to the doctor and got his permission, and they film him just running. And then they film on the sweat coming down from his face. I mean, it was just when you were there, you realize, like, you do good, right? I bet you this happens to you. You try to do good, but you forget really why you're doing good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I know it doesn't probably to most people, but we put this whole thing together, right? And we had all these entertainers there and all that. And when I watched the film, I realized why we did it. Now, 10 years later, we're doing the 10th one next month.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's kind of neat.
Beautiful.
And all the checks were made out to St. Jude's Hospital. So it was a beautiful thing, and it's a good thing when you're part of stuff like that. It gives purpose for life.
Absolutely.
If I asked everybody here, what's your purpose, right? Purpose is ongoing, right? It never has an end. A goal has a beginning and an end. So that's the difference between a goal and a purpose. What is your purpose in life? If you think about it, it's the day you were born, the dash, then the day you die. The dash represents the journey, right? That's the most important part. What was your purpose? What did you give back to mankind? And like I look at you, and I look at you, and I say, you guys are giving back big time. And I'm really honored to have you both in the studio.
Thank you. Thank
okay?
you very much.
And then we're going to go. If you'd like to just to stay, like you, did you bring your guitar?
I did not. No.
A guitar player that didn't bring his guitar. You know? I don't know about that.
It was a talk show, not a play show.
Do you have a disc of how you play?
I see.
Do you have like a... No, because seriously, I hear you're really good. That's why I was honored to have you here.
I don't know how good I am. But.
Yeah. So tell us.
He is very good. This is Ken Stump. He's part of the Stump Hollow Band and an important part in the guitar player is actually the timekeeper. The bass plays the bass, and the guitar plays the chords along with it and keeps us all in the sound in the right key. So.
Yeah, so that's good. And you guys play bluegrass music.
We play bluegrass
the banjo.
Music.
Are you a banjo player?
No, we have a banjo player. He's a doctor.
Okay, good. So then do you have any music that you want to play today?
We didn't bring anything to play.
Okay, so that's good.
We didn't bring any kazoos. We can't even hum.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'm sure, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about you.
Well, thank you.
And that you're really talented. So
we have a good group.
Yeah, maybe next time you can bring a CD.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That'd be good.
I can tell you a little bit about the group.
Go ahead.
I have the program from our December 7th. Program. We have our annual Bluegrass Festival at Honeymoon Island. It's the last Saturday of December of each year. So this past year was on December 7th at Honeymoon Island, 2019. And I hear some fiddle music.
You got some fiddles playing.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Play that up. Hey. Yeah, listen, so this is the type of music you play.
This is exactly what we play. If it's all about fiddles, it's all about banjos, bass, guitar, mandolin.
It's good sleep music, too, actually.
To sleep?
Yeah. I'm just saying to you, it's peaceful.
Yeah. No, it is, yeah.
That's what I mean. I don't mean like it's... I could sleep with this on.
Yeah, this is...
Bill Monroe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Monroe is considered the father of bluegrass music. About 1945, he hired a banjo player named Earl Scruggs. And between Earl Scruggs playing the banjo, Bill Monroe, that high, lonesome singing, and that's what put bluegrass music on the map. And it's still doing very, very well today. So... So we can leave that on, just like you're doing. That's fine. That sounds great.
They didn't even call it bluegrass, but because Bill was from Kentucky, bluegrass state, that's what they started calling his type of music. And it used to be country and western, then it's different. So they called it bluegrass.
Those who listen to public radio have heard a lot of the Ken Burns programs lately. Ken Burns has wrote some very, very good documentary stories about the beginnings of bluegrass, how it started as Appalachian music in the hills of, well, the Appalachian hills, where they couldn't even get radio because the sound waves would not go down into the hollows. So everybody had a music instrument and they played around the family. The dinner table, that's the way the music started. It was family music.
Really? That's pretty cool. And then just think now, everybody thought, like, that's why they thought the radio would be no more with TV. Like, TV would put radio out of business, right? And it never did.
Didn't happen.
Because everybody likes to listen to music.
That's right.
With radio, though, if you remember some of the old radio shows, Lone Rangers and The Shadow and all those, people get to use their imagination when they're listening to radio. You can talk about a green field with this and that and whatever. Everybody pictures their green field with the trees growing here and there, and it's all different for everybody. So you get to use your imagination with radio. TV, what you see is what you see. And
right, there is a lot to that. There is, and I like it when I it was a station I was listening to while I was showing all the old ones,
mm-hmm.
where before TV, and it was really interesting. I mean, really, they have sound effects too. Someone stomping, you know.
Oh, the sound effects guy was incredible. He can make things.
Yeah, and that would add life to it too.
Yeah, it certainly would.
Yeah, we got Paulie on the line. Paulie, remember Paulie?
Hi.
Yeah, I was. Every time someone would come in, I'm looking to see if it's my Paulie. How are you?
I'm okay. I ran late today. I'm sorry. I've been doing a lot of photo shoots, and today I had one dressed as a mermaid. So I was a mermaid for the shoot today. And so anyway, I'm excited to see those pictures when they come out. I'll have to show you guys.
Yeah, come in next week. And then also the Renaissance Festival has a mermaid.
Oh,
you
really?
You know what she eats? Because I asked her. She eats cotton candy. So every year, this is kind of something. My daughter and us go every year for the last 8 years or 10 years, whatever it's been, and we go every year just to feed the mermaid at the Renaissance Festival.
Really? Oh my
goodness. And then I wish because she's listening actually now, and the whole reason we kept going back was mainly for the mermaid.
You feed her cotton candy?
One time we bought cotton candy.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
But we give them, they want money.
Ah, I see.
So they can buy the cotton candy.
Yeah, buy whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, it's kind of neat. I love it. The mermaid thing is interesting to me.
Now, where is the Renaissance Center?
It's in Tampa.
Oh.
And it's really neat, the Renaissance. It's medieval time type stuff.
It's going on now, isn't it?
It's on right now.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. When can you come in to go over the banjo, like how it progressed? Remember we were going to do that? When do you want to do that?
Well, we can do that any other Thursday that we are available.
Can you come back and we can, like I'll just devote, because I got other guests now.
Right,
and
sure.
Is there somehow I can like devote, like we can be firm that you guys will be here?
Okay.
And then we'll devour a half hour to going over the banjo.
Yeah, and we can bring some music along.
And bring some music. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That'll be good.
I got to cut it short. Yeah. Hey, Sid. Yeah, go ahead, Paulie.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I'll be there next week for sure. And then the week after that, I'm in Kansas City for a fashion show. So you can count on me next week.
Ken, are we going to be able to come? When are you coming?
Me?
Yes.
I'll be there next week for sure. And then the following Thursday, which is the 12th of March, I'll be out of town.
Okay, so Thursday for next week, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Ron has stepped out for a moment, so we're kind of
reaching
the phone here.
Yeah, Paulie knows how that is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can figure out a way to be around in the very near future. Usually,
that would be great.
Yeah, we'd love to
be here.
Yeah,
that would be me, you, Paulie. And we'll just devote a half hour. And I like to do is just play one song and then you guys dissect it.
Okay.
And then play another song and then do the progression to today.
Yeah, we have done that in the past. Part of that is an example. We started with the first Bluegrassers, Bill Monroe, and we came through Ricky Skaggs and some of the more modern Bluegrass fans in the transition of instruments. Including slide banjos, slide guitars, and the whole.
It's out of Kentucky too. Like Kentucky, you know why the Colonel put a pint of gravy in each thing automatically for the chicken?
I didn't know that.
At KFC.
No,
he said because when people buy something, it would weigh it down like they're getting a value. I read the book on him. You know, he had no contracts. He had no contracts with anybody. He did everything on a handshake.
Started his own restaurant. Started off with one restaurant.
No, actually two in Kentucky.
Two, okay.
That's where it's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
Two brothers he talked into the secret recipe. Not talked into, but you know what I'm saying. Now there's not a metropolis in the United States that has 20,000 homes or more that doesn't have a KFC. And here's a guy that started when he was 65 living in his car, crisscrossing the country trying to find someone.
Wow.
And he lived in his car, and his family was against him. That's why the thing is, when you do stuff great, sometimes you got to push the envelope, right, and do things, not think like the average person thinks.
Well, that's what you were saying. If you have a dream.
A dream. Walt Disney went bankrupt 5 times, had 2 nervous breakdowns.
Before his dream came true.
Right. So never give
up,
guys. Never give up. There's always hope.
Exactly.
When you're at the end of your rope, there's always hope.
You have to wish upon a star.
Wish upon a star. Okay, my friend. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Always on the end of the rope.
Sus. Come on, Mr. Alex. Come here, buddy.
I'm coming.
And then who else do we have out there? Anybody else? Mrs. Paulie's on the line still. See, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. How have you been? I miss you guys.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. So we got a lot of things going on here. We got Sid. Now, he's a captain of a boat, a big boat, and he was a part of a big thing out of New York with fish and stuff. Put on the headset, Sid.
Long Island Sound?
Well, yeah, he could tell you. And then Alex.
Yeah, we're listening to Brian Cash Claus of the Brian Cash Claus coupon book.
There you go.
Don't you love it, folks?
Yeah, and then, we just got to just keep going forward, right? That's all.
Yeah, well, you know we're talking about the rope?
Yeah.
You know when you get to the end of your rope, you know what you're supposed to do?
What?
Got to tie a knot on it and hold on.
Hold on.
Because you never know where you're going to go next.
That's it. And there's always hope.
Yes, there is. It says in the Bible, a man without vision shall perish.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Man without vision should perish.
So when you're talking about the Boy Scouts before, Brian, that's what they do. They teach them to look down the road and look ahead.
Myself, with all that said, okay, I'll give good suggestions, people. As you see, I have no notes in front of me. And people say, I've had people saying, you're just reading. But for me, sometimes I can tell people to have hope and all that. But then I get scared and I get frightened. And I know
you haven't been lying to me.
No, I'm just saying. I have my moments where I get depressed.
Oh, man.
And I'm in fear, right? But I'm happier for longer periods of time more often.
There you go.
And they're not as much.
There you go.
But to say that I never in fear or I never worry would be a lie, right? But the message is worrying actually is atheism, if you really want to cut it to what it really is. Because if you're worrying, you're not having faith.
That's true. You're not supposed to be anxious.
So let's go, Mr. He does boats. Yeah. You do trees and a bunch of other stuff and bees.
Yep, I love
you guys
bees.
Interview each other.
All right, so
tell me I'm going to rate who gets the winner. The winner gets $50 at a gift certificate to a restaurant.
I knew you were
going
to do
it. No, I'm going to give it away then, man. When you give, it comes back. So we'll see how many we can get out of you.
Okay, so ready? Who's going to ask the first question?
Well, I want to know the location of this lady that's on the phone.
Paulie?
Where's she at, man?
I'm right here.
She's in the ocean. She's a mermaid. What do you mean?
And she eats cotton candy.
She eats cotton candy.
I was listening to the show. How do we get a hold of this lady?
You go to 727-487-2412. And what I'd like to do is have you guys take the show over, and I'm not going to say another word.
That's what you normally do. The only good news I got is that I'll be easy to find because I am now down what they call the Sponge Dogs right in town.
Well, that's right in the neighborhood, man. Just up the street and around the corner.
Yeah, but that's after fighting City Hall for a while.
Yeah. So is it true you got more than just two oars and two oarlocks? You know what oars are. So how big is your boat?
It's not that big. It's only 24 feet.
That's a lot of boat, man.
No.
It gets big when you got to wash it.
None of them are big enough.
Yeah, really. So how many motors? Two twin, two 250s, it looks
like?
No,
just a 200.
200? Well, that'll get you where you got to go.
Why do you say just? Stop talking like that.
Just.
I said I wasn't going to say a word. No, it's great what you have. Someone that doesn't have a boat, it's a lot.
That's right.
Better than ours.
Yeah, you're saying just.
Well,
it's
unique because it has that hydraulic landing ramp.
Yeah, when I saw that boat, the picture of it, it looked fantastic. It looked like it could be a lot of fun to go out there with that. And that's what you do. You let people have fun and enjoy life.
That's what it's supposed to be.
So how do we get a hold of you, boss?
You just call the phone, 516-459-9603.
He's doing good.
No, he's not. He's you're winning right now.
No, he can. He, I told
okay,
you.
Make
I,
a
I
comeback,
surrender.
Sid.
I need to make a comeback. That's right.
Yeah, so I guess Captain Sidney R. Smith, he's up there at the Sponge Docks, and he does not fish. He parties. So if you guys want to go swimming?
That's right. You want to sunbathe, drink?
You want to sunbathe? You want to swim? You want to go just for a ride on the boat? Do a sunset? You know, something like that. Just get out on the water. Pick a nice, quiet afternoon. I'll bet you even do champagne. I'll bet you do strawberries. I bet you do pepperoni and cheese and crackers. Just one of those beautiful sunsets, man. They're beautiful here in South Florida. And it says, you provide the drinks, and he'll do all the driving.
Awesome.
Yep. So, Pauline, I didn't catch where you. How do we get a hold of you? What's your phone number? Do you have a location, or you just work off? You're like a. Do you have a shop or something?
I have my artwork in different shops in the area, but I work out of my studio at home.
Oh, that's cool. You don't have to go too far to go to work then in the morning, do you?
Well, I actually have another job. I do have an office. I work for State Farm also.
Wow,
but,
you got a lot.
But no, I don't have too far to go. So I have my art business. I'm publishing another book, and I do modeling. And fairly busy.
Well, that's good.
You're the Paulie's Wild Imagination?
That's right.
Well, if you notice on all my boats, well, you don't know, they're not all here.
You have mermaids.
I have mermaids.
That's pretty cool.
I even have one on my back window of the truck.
I love it.
Easy to spot.
Yep.
How many people are riding around with mermaids on?
I'm not going to touch that one. On a Friday night, you might see more than one.
No. I commercial fish for 45 years, and I never caught one yet.
Wow.
Always looking.
You're fishing wiki-watchy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an the mermaids joke. Are up there, right?
They are. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. You got to be from Florida to know about.
I'm a snowbird.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you're down here just for this time of year?
Yeah. That's a cool. Little disappointed with the weather right now.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to enjoy the weather today, be here in July. Because this is nice for us local folks. This is nice. This is really nice. So, are you booking trips for this weekend? I mean, I think it's supposed to be nice.
I haven't gotten any calls yet. It all depends on the weather. Usually, somebody, if they call, it's like, you know, an hour before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, this morning it was rough out there. It was rough.
You can't really tell.
Yep. I got you.
And you guys know that from living here about the weather.
So you say you're a commercial fisherman for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Grouper, locally here? Did you fish off?
No, I fished up north. We had all federal permits, and we fished offshore for every kind of species there was. And
tell me, did you do tuna?
I have caught tuna, but not for making a living at it.
Right, because I'm sure you've seen that tuna show on TV.
Yeah.
It's all hype, huh? I know. It's kind of like the crabbing show.
I'm more like that.
There you go. Balls to the wall, don't stop. Don't stop. I hear you.
That was my kind of fishing.
So you keep your boat in the water all the time?
Yep.
So that means if me and my two boys want to go out, we call you, and you'll fire the engines up, and we jump on and go for a ride.
That's it.
It says you can do 1 to 6 people. Is that like some kind of limit or something?
It's when you charge, somebody is paying you. You only can go up to 6 people if you're not a certified vessel.
Oh,
which means just going through some Coast Guard stuff. But
well, that's good.
I have a 200-ton license.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a big boat, isn't it?
Well, it's a big license. It's not necessary for. It's not even necessary for that boat.
Well, it sounds impressive.
It does.
Sounds impressive. I like it.
You know, I do tugboating too.
Well, that's interesting. So commercial fishing. I mean, I wanted to do that once because I was doing a lot of fishing offshore here in Tampa. And I talked to a commercial fisherman, and he looked at me and he says, Alex, you don't want to do commercial fishing. That's a hard, hard life out there on the water day after day. 40 years, that's a long time, man. My hat's off to you.
The government took away all we could do up there. So that was
really?
That was the downfall.
Imagine that.
How'd they take away?
By your quotas, limits on everything. You're on tracking systems. You got to take observers and pay for them. You got to pay $700 a day to take an observer with you on top of your expenses.
And if you don't catch anything, he still gets paid.
That's right.
Huh. Tough way to make a living.
Yeah.
We think we got it tough. I'm going to tell you, anybody that works outside, anybody that works in agriculture, the fishing, yeah, that's a tough life.
Yeah.
But you can teach anybody to fish. You know, you just put a hook on, worm on the hook.
Well, you catch a product, you give it away to somebody and hope they pay you. Yeah, there's no guarantees.
You teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. I got it in there.
Hey, Brian Cash Claus of the BPC coupon book. It was a pleasure being on your show today, man.
Alex, baby. The most spiritual man I do business with.
Really? Good.
Without a doubt.
Then you two get along great.
That's good. And then
I got guilted coming here because you called me so many times how I felt when I was sick.
Well, I had to.
I appreciated it.
No, because you know I care.
That's right.
Right? And you beat it, right?
Hey, well, we
got to get going, too.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. And, Brian, my hat's off to you. Good show today. A lot of good information.
Hopefully, if one person got something out of it, it's worth it.
We changed the world, man.
That's it.
We changed the world.
We got to go. And then we thank the Boy Scout guy. We thank who else? The drug lady.
Colleen.
Paulie, you still there?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.